In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Very exciting to be here with you all. What we really enjoy about physical reality, what we want you to think about right now, is just how free you are to do whatever you want to do. You are absolutely free. Humans have never been so free. The freedom might be a little overwhelming because in that freedom, you allow for all the possibilities. And so as you know you're free, you might also think, well, why am I so limited? Why am I not doing everything I want to do? Why am I not being more, being who I authentically am? Why am I being limited by fear? If I can do anything, absolutely anything, why am I not doing that yet? What am I waiting for? But in this freedom that you have, you don't have to think about why you aren't free. When you think about why you aren't free or how you're limited, you just bring about more limitation. When you imagine that you are free, that you're absolutely free, and yet you're choosing the experience that you're having today, right now, in this moment, in this life that you're having, and then that is where the freedom lies, to choose and be in this experience. And if this experience changes, then that will be part of the experience that you came here for. And so that your freedom really is not in going out and doing things you think you should be doing, but it's in the idea that anything is possible within the life that you're living right now. And so that you are not limited. And just because you are in this relationship, in this job, in this home, in this financial condition, in this health condition, doesn't mean you need to be free to move away from that. The freedom means that the possibilities are endless in the life that you have right now. And as you allow for that life to become more expansive, to become whatever it'll become, to unfold as your desires unfold or as your true intentions that you set forth before you came here, as you allow those things to unfold, you'll notice that the freedom is in that. Do you understand what we're talking about here? That you have the ability to be, have, and do anything that you desire in this reality. But you tend to focus on what you're not doing that you desire instead of realizing that you came here to experience this thing you're experiencing right now at this time in your life that you're doing it right now. And then whenever that experience is through, whether it's tomorrow, next week, next year, next month, next lifetime, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be on to whatever the thing is next. You don't have to plan for any of this. As long as you understand what freedom really is, which is this unlimited potential to explore whatever you came here to explore, and that as you're going with the flow of that exploration, that you'll expand in ways that you intended, and this will naturally move you to where you want to be, to where you had intended to be, to where you desire, to where you truly desire to go. So you might say, well, one day I'm going to travel the world, or I'm going to move across the country, or I'm going to have my own business, or I'm going to live in this big mansion somewhere, or I'm going to have this and this and this and whatever it is. And until that happens, I feel like I'm trapped in this life that I have now. And we say that that way of thinking is not only not accurate, it is not empowering. It's limiting. If you could tip that on its head and say that in this experience that I'm experiencing right now, I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do. But because this is where I'm focused, I am going to choose right now to explore this as I intended, to make this life, this job, this relationship, this house, this financial condition, this health condition, as enjoyable, interesting, and expansive as I intended. And when this is over, then I will naturally be moved to the next dimension, the next house, the next relationship, the next whatever it is, further up the level. And by raising your vibration, and when we say raising your vibration, what we're saying here is that you have a certain vibration right now, and that vibration is informed by how you feel about yourself, how you feel about the world around you, the beliefs you have, whether they're beneficial or limiting beliefs, what you think you're capable of, who you believe you are. And as you expand your idea of who you are, your vibration raises. And that vibration is sent out into the universe. And a reality comes back to reflect that vibration so that you can see how you're being. Now, as you dig into how you're being in this life that you're in now, realizing that it's not wrong, that it is perfect, that you came here on purpose to explore exactly what you're exploring now, and that the depth to which you allow this to be a wonderful exploration will enhance your vibration, which will bring about the natural next step for you, the natural evolution of this experience that you wanted to have here in physical reality. So there's nothing you need to do other than see what is as perfect, see yourself as perfect, and realize that what you're doing right now, where you're focused right now, it's not to change where you are right now, but to see where you are right now as perfect. To alter your opinion of yourself and your conditions and the people around you from how could they be better, how could I be better, how could things be better, to how can I appreciate this more now? How can I allow this to be as it is right now? How can I be more interested and more engaged in what's going in right now? How can I enjoy this right now more? How can I explore this to another dimension right now? And how can I feel my freedom within this life more right now? And as you feel your freedom in this life more right now, you naturally will expand your opinion of you, because the pinnacle of who you think you are is the creator of your reality. And as the creator of your reality, you have the freedom to create whatever you want. And in realizing that you are creating what you truly want right now, in the life that you have right now, you see yourself from a much higher perspective. And the result of that is a evolution of your life and your reality that coincides with this higher and broader and more in-depth and more informed and more valued perception of yourself. It's what we've been saying all along. But now we can bring this in with the idea of freedom and talk more about your interpretation of the idea of freedom as you live your life right now. Who'd like to start?
Hey, Joshua. This is Mark. I'd like to start.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, so it's what you're saying is very related to my question right now. So I was having a conversation with Nikki, and she's like, how you doing? What's going on with you? And I said, well, I just want to have more joy in my day to day life, like while I'm working. You know, I have joy when I'm with my friends and hanging out with the Joshua peeps and weekends and things like that. I want to as much as I can just enjoy, like while I'm working. Sometimes I can see myself getting too serious. So I try to do that question, like, how can I have more joy right now? And then and lots of times it's just to remind myself nothing serious going on. But Nikki made a good point as far as, well, you have to accept where you are. Like, she said things like, you're resisting the moment you may be resisting the moment, number one. And number two, it's okay to love that serious side about you.
So let's take a look at.
Yeah. So how do I know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at the idea of what joy is. So when you're with your friends and you're having fun and you're on the weekend and you're doing something fun with a whole bunch of friends, that feels like joy. It's fun. It's engaging. You're in alignment. You're going with the flow. You're receiving inspiration to say and do things that are fun, that add to the conversation, that build everything up. Everyone else is doing the same thing. They're all in alignment. So joy is alignment. Now, if you're with your friends and you're wishing that you could be at work, working and being productive and thinking that you can't wait for this to be over, well, then you're not in joy with your friends. You'd be in joy with work because at work you'd be, this is great. I get to be here by myself. I get to do what I want to do. I get to be productive. I get to be creative. Now, that's just a matter of opinion. So what we're saying here then, joy is just a decision that you make, a choice. Joy is just the choice to be in alignment doing what you're doing now or not in alignment doing what you're doing now. And that choice is all up to you, ultimately. So here you are with your friends. You believe that being with your friends and having fun and going out and doing stuff like that naturally is joyful. And we are saying it is not naturally joyful. It is naturally neutral. And you are choosing your perspective. You are choosing to see it as joyful. And as you choose the same perspective that your inner self has on that same subject, then the feeling you receive is alignment or joy, right?
Yeah.
You could call it fun. You could call it a lot of things, ecstasy, engagement, camaraderie, or joy. But the positive emotion is the indication that you are looking at your life and yourself and your friends and the conditions that are around you in a way that is perfectly aligned with how your inner self sees it. If you are not feeling joy, it's because you are choosing to see where you are at this time in a way that does not quite match up to how your inner self sees it. Now, you could be at a funeral in joy. You could be at a wedding in joy. You could be at the birth of a child in joy. You could be working in joy. You could be going to school in joy. You could be having an argument in joy. You could be going through a manifestation event in joy. It is a choice. Now, we aren't saying it's a natural choice for you. You have been led upon this path of reacting to conditions in front of you rather than choosing how you feel, rather than seeing the conditions as neutral and saying, I get to choose how I feel. This is a new concept for most of you. And what you had believed in the past was if the conditions were good, if I'm out with my friends, then it's natural to feel good and to feel fun. But we're telling you that's not true. It is your choice. Your choice is based on your perception of yourself. You perceive yourself to be a fun, outgoing, attractive, funny, interesting, nice to be around kind of person. But there are other people who don't perceive that about themselves. So in a social situation like that, they don't feel joy. They feel nervous or anxious, right? They feel more joy at home by themselves with their cat. That's just a choice that they made. That's a choice that you're making to feel good.
Right.
You can feel good anywhere you want. It just takes a bit of practice. How do you do that? By appreciating where you are, being grateful for the time that you have, and focusing on what you're doing. Now, if you're at work, we're not saying you're not in joy. You are in joy. You're just not in the same kind of joy because it's not as easy for you to get up to that high level place. In a group of friends, it's super easy. In your solitude, you can say that I'm sort of missing something else I prefer to be doing. And in that preference of something else I'd rather be doing, you tend to take a more limited perspective of where you are because you don't perceive the freedom in that. And you, of all people, too, have a lot of freedom in what you want to do.
Yeah.
You're not on a roof replacing the roof somewhere. You don't have bosses telling you what to do every 5 minutes. You have a ton of freedom to do what you want to do. But ultimately, no matter what you're doing, the freedom is found in the choice that you decide to make. Mm. So you say, I, for the next 8 hours, get to do this work. And I am thankful for this work. And I enjoy the work because it's interesting and fulfilling. And I am going to bring forth the power of the universe through my alignment with my inner self so that I can do what needs to be done. And I intend to be productive, and I intend to be interested, engaged, and be powerful in this for this time. And then I will do something else. And this is fun, and the next thing I do is fun, and the next thing after that I do is fun. And in fact, my life is nothing but a series of blissful events. One right after the other, getting better and better and better all the time. So it's just a choice.
Okay, so if I find myself maybe being too serious, or I'm working and I'm not choosing joy as much as I can be, in my intention to have more joy, how do I know how much I'm not? How do I know how much I'm resisting where I am now? Like, there's a feeling of, well, just allow yourself to be where you are and it's fine, or to just kind of reach for joy. So I guess the fine line between reaching for joy and just allowing, because I'm Nikki, and I don't want to speak for Nikki. I think she left, but I wanted to give her a chance to explain what she was saying to me. But she was mentioning that, well, you may not be allowing yourself, you're allowing yourself to be how you are, and you might be resisting the moment. So I'm not sure, like, I don't know if I'm doing that or not.
So if you're resisting the moment, you can feel that because your mind will wander to something that could be different in the conditions. Somehow these conditions could be different than they are. And if you notice that in the moment, that's simply resistance, right? That's all that is. And then you bring yourself back by talking to yourself and saying, wait a minute, the conditions I know are perfect. Now let's look at these conditions and just prove that they're perfect. The temperature's great. I get paid for what I do. I like the work I'm doing. It's a nice room that I'm in. I get to do this and this and this. This work provides the money that I need to do other things that I like to do. It gives me the freedom to travel and the freedom to have the things that I want. It's a matter of appreciation. So if you can ramp up the appreciation of what is, you'll naturally feel better and better and better. Then in the doing of that, your conditions will naturally improve, will naturally be more good feeling to you. So any slight tiny bit of concern that things aren't perfect is simply resistance. And the more intense it is, the more you really feel it, and the less intense it is, the more you think, oh, no big deal. It's just a little thing. No big deal, right? So what can you do to make work more joyful?
Yeah, I just it works. Like, I do a lot of the things you're saying. I just get my perspective, remind myself, and then appreciate my situation. And I get there pretty fast. Like, okay, oh, yeah, I'm just – you know, sometimes I get into the grind mode and I'm working, and then – and then I just remind myself, hey, this is – you like what you're doing. And I realize how lucky I am and how much I enjoy it. And then that's how I can pretty much do that. But it's interesting because in reaching for joy, you're also in – I guess you're also in that split second resisting the moment.
In reaching for joy, all you're doing is realizing that your perspective was off in the previous moment. And that you're taking the conscious approach of getting into alignment and then going forward. Realizing you're a little bit out of alignment with the thought that I could be doing something more fun. And then getting yourself back into the alignment with the thought that this is really good. This is really enjoyable. This is really interesting. I really like this. I'm interested and engaged and having a good time while I'm here. I can do other things while I'm not here. New things will come. And as you do that, the work part of it will naturally become more joyful. Do you see that if you were to focus on how rotten your job is and how much you hate going to do it and how much you resist the time that you're there and wish you were doing something different, well, then you can see how that job is just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
The opposite of that is true. The opposite is true. If you start saying, how can I like this more? How can I focus on a way that makes this more? Then the job will have to be more fun. So you're not having to do anything to control what makes it fun or what makes it enjoyable or what makes it interesting. That is all done by the universe in response to your vibration, which is in response to how you feel about what you're doing right now and who you are in that role right now. So if you say, this is easy for me, this is great, I could do this all day long, I like doing this, I can get focused, it helps me focus, I like the money that comes from it, I like all the things that come from it, this is great, I'll do this for now, I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life, but while I'm doing it now, isn't it interesting and fun, and won't this lead to something else that's even more interesting and more fun? And then as you do that, things will change, things will change, things will change. They'll slowly change, and then one day they'll change big. And you'll know that that's a result of the work that you've been doing all the way through. See, this is the new approach to life. The old approach to life was saying, I hate my job. I hate this situation. I hate this relationship. I hate my health. I hate all these things. I hate my financial condition. I need to change this and change this and change this to make it better and better and better. And that would never work because everything was a result of who you were being and who you thought you were in this world. So if you think you are a small speck in this world, that you're the victim of it, then you're going to experience the victimization experience, right? Growth and expansion through being the victim. But you can experience growth and expansion through being the creator. And being the creator means that you choose how you perceive what you're doing in a way that will help you maintain your alignment. Because in that alignment, there's all the power that you will ever need to do whatever you want to do.
Okay, that's helpful.
This is a brilliant question because here you are really enjoying what you're doing, really appreciating what you're doing, and still you want to ramp it up even more.
Yeah, exactly. It's just nuanced. It's just it's just more of it.
Super powerful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Congratulate you.
Thanks.
Excellent. Does anyone else have a question?
I have a question.
Excellent.
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. Let's see. Lately, it's been with my 3.5-year-old son, and I'm noticing, which I'm actually kind of excited about in a way, but he's super, super, super sensitive. And now little things start to seem
emotionally
like
emotionally sensitive?
Yes. Overwhelmed by too many people, sounds, fixations on things. And my thoughts, I mean, I'm kind of excited for him because I'm, you know, wonder where they'll bring him, you know, and I'm okay with all of it. I just thought, well, maybe I should see a specialist because there are moments where he can't handle what's going on in the moment and I'm at a loss to know how to help him. So
there's nothing wrong with seeing a specialist as long as the specialist is one who sees this unique aspect of your son as a virtue and as a talent and as an ability and as a chosen experience of reality rather than one who sees this as something wrong.
Okay.
In seeing as something wrong, the specialist will have to try to fix it.
Oh, okay.
In trying to fix it, trying to correct what is, trying to see that there is some way to control or manipulate the issue. Mm-hmm. All they're going to be is catering to your fear. They're not going to be solving anything.
Right.
You see? And so they can have a wonderful living, do a wonderful job catering to people's fears and saying, we will fix this problem, we'll fix this problem, we'll fix this problem. And then at the end saying, oh, your kid just happens to be one of those who can't be fixed. Sorry about that.
Right.
Right. Because your kid has never needed to be fixed. Your kid's perfect as he is. He has chosen a unique, just like you have, you chose the body you're in, the active body that can't sit still. Mm-hmm. Because this allows you to explore reality as you intended prior to your birth. Right? You're not going to be working in a cubicle. You're going to be expressing your body and moving your body and working with your body and working with and doing a million different things. You're not going to be sitting still and focused on anything. He, on the other hand, might be able to intensely focus on one thing in a way that you will never be able to, that you will never even be able to perceive how that's possible. His oversensitivity, as compared to the rest of the people you know, is a inherent ability for him that will manifest into the exploration of reality as he chooses, in a way that is quite unique and that others will not be able to do it. His perception of reality will be completely different than yours. Even though yours is completely different than anyone else's, you can relate to a lot of different types of people. But as you get more nuanced and more specific in this, you can come into reality in a highly sensitive way so that you can really focus on certain aspects of reality that no one has ever been able to focus on them before. And this is where genius comes from. This is where
he is super, super intelligent too. I'm excited about all that, but let me give an example thank you for that confirmation of the specialist, because I was wondering about that. But the other day we had a birthday party to go to somebody in his class, and he was super excited about it. He was talking about like every day over and over and over again at a public place. It's like an indoor jumping place, and we've gone there like a billion times. We get there and he just loses his shit. He just has a meltdown and he says, "Mommy, there's all these new faces, and he keeps wanting to run to the bathroom. So in this moment, you know, after we keep doing this, like back and forth, he comes out of the bathroom, wants to run back in. I'm kind of what he says, I want to go home. And I kind of made him stay though, because I felt like I knew he wanted to stay for the party. It ended up after a grueling 45 minutes of doing that. After that, we went back to the back room and they did the cake and had pizza, and he was around just, you know, not as many people, and everything calmed down for him. We got a hit of pinata and he had a blast. But I was wondering, should I have listened to him when he said he wanted to go home? Should I have done that, or should I push through and make him, you know? That's kind of where I'm confused with in those moments.
So here he is having fear, and you can succumb with him in his fear. Or you can look at the subject as his higher or inner self would look at it, right? So you can see it from the broader and higher perspective that he can't see from right now. So you can see things that you believe would be good for him, as long as you don't feel fear. So if you said, "I fear removing him from this and what other people will think of me as a mother, so I'm going to make him stay," that wouldn't be beneficial for you or him.
Yeah, right? I wasn't thinking that way, but I wasn't being very nice about the whole thing.
This experience is beneficial. He's having a meltdown, which is what? A manifestation event. You all have meltdowns during your manifestation events, but you just don't scream and cry anymore. You used to. Just you don't want to be looked at like someone who's screaming and crying when they're in their 20s. So here you are observing his manifestation event from a higher perspective, saying, no, this is for him. He will learn from this. He will understand that, yes, it is overwhelming to see a bunch of new faces, but there is no real danger in this. It is a perceived danger. The fear is irrational. He's not going to be killed by the new faces. So you know that it's not going to harm him physically to move through this fear or to experience this manifestation event. And as he moves through this fear, you give him confidence that he can do this again and again and again. And while it may seem irrational or unnormal, unnatural, abnormal, there we go, abnormal for him to be concerned with a lot of people or a lot of new faces, because from your perspective, you would never be worried about that. But from his perspective, he is. You can understand that he is going through a manifestation event that you don't really have the same perspective. Mm-hmm. You can soothe him and ease him into it. You don't have to throw him in the deep end every single time. You can gently put him in the shallow end and wade him through, which is what you did by being there for 45 minutes. But you could also see this and enjoy it, because that's a choice as well. You could wish for him to be like everyone else and just run and play with the kids and not have to, you know, feel negative emotion yourself, which is the only resistance that you have. Mm-hmm. Because from a higher perspective, you wouldn't have negative emotion. His inner self doesn't have negative emotion. As the inner self looks at this event, So you don't have to either. You could do this is you could adopt this stance of curiosity and excitement. Here he is from his perspective moving through this huge fear. I feel a little guilty because maybe I should just nerf his whole world and put him in a plastic bubble so he doesn't have to have any negative experiences. But I realize this is for him because if it's happening to him, it's happening for him. This is an experience that he's manifesting. And he has a limiting belief about lots of other people that he can overcome.
Right. That's all helpful. But when it's directed to one person, that's when it kind of gets embarrassing. And yes, I know that's like my fear of being embarrassed. But like that's when we have somebody come over and he's scared of like certain people's eyes. I know that sounds unusual, but he freaks out. And one of them is his grandmother and she loves him dearly and wants to be around him, but he doesn't want to be around her. And I don't even really know what to say to both of them when it's happening.
So here you have, you witness his fear of his grandmother. So you realize that's irrational. So do you have to cater to it? No, because you're not protecting him when you protect him from his grandmother. There is no danger there. Right? You have a fear of what your... Is it your mother or your husband's mother?
It's actually a step-grandmother, but yeah, it's on the...
You have a fear of what this person will think of you.
Yeah, well, no, actually, I'm more like, I don't want her feelings hurt. Like, she's not doing anything wrong, and I just...
The reason you want her feelings hurt is because of how it makes you feel. To perceive the hurt feeling get hurt. That's the only reason, right? So if she gets her feelings hurt, well, that's a manifestation event for her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not a real fear. What's her fear there? Her fear is that she's not worthy of her grandchild's love.
Right. Yeah.
That's something she'll have to deal with, right? So you're witnessing a manifestation event for both parties where the fear is irrational and you don't have to get involved. You don't have to do anything other than to look upon it with curiosity and say, what an interesting dynamic that's here. I wonder how this is for both of them.
Okay.
And then you just remove any attachment that you have to the outcome. You remove yourself from this condition and you say, I'm going to maintain alignment so that I will say and do the things that will be of highest service to these two people that I love.
That's what I need to do, maintain alignment.
In seeing the situation as wrong, in seeing it as wrong for your son not
finally
to love
got
this
you,
person,
eh?
In seeing this as wrong, you just take yourself out of alignment. The only way you can see it as wrong is fear. There it is.
Thank you. Yes. That's what I needed. Thank you. That was helpful because I do get frustrated in it all, and I'm out of alignment, and that's not helping anybody. Yeah.
Excellent.
Poor Jackie.
Yeah.
Tracy, we can hear you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wonderful. And is there anything more?
I'll let someone else go. I mean, there's always stuff going on. So, yeah, that was very helpful.
Excellent. Good. Is there anyone else?
Hi, Joshua.
Hello.
It's Alette from Rotterdam.
Hello, Alette.
Hi. I don't so much have a question, but I want to tell you about my visit to the animal shelter last Saturday.
Oh. Oh.
I don't know if has the question not been sent yet for the weekly podcast?
No, but no? The gang talked about it on the roundtable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I went to the animal shelter last Saturday, and because at first I thought I'll wait a week, but next week I can't, and the week after that I can't as well. So it will take too much time, so I'll go now. And then I arrived at the shelter, and there were two people at the desk, at the front desk, asking all kinds of questions about cat litter and kittens. And okay. It took some time, and I thought, oh, maybe it's time to go home now. It's the universe telling me, don't wait any longer and go home. But I stayed. And then, well, I went to the desk and, yeah, said something along the lines that you sent me. And the woman was very nice to me, and she said, well, usually volunteers work 4 hours a day. And I said, well, I think that may be a bit too much because Saturday is my only day off, and I just want to do one or 2 hours. And she said, well, you can help with cleaning the accommodations for the cats, and then you can play with the cats. I said, okay, that's fine. And then she said, but we open at 11 in the morning on Saturday, and everything has to be cleaned before 11. Oh, so that means, we start at 8 or 8:30. I said, no, I can't do that because it's my only day I can sleep in. So that's, and she understood that. And then I thought, well, I couldn't think of anything else to do. And I also offered to walk the dogs, but they have enough volunteers for that. And then she said, oh, wait a minute. We also have a quarantine department where we keep the cats that are sick or some have something else. And they often have trouble eating. So someone has to sit with them and entice them to eat, help them to eat. And maybe they need someone over there, and that would be nice. You could do 2 hours. That wouldn't that would be okay. And then she went to the back, and she came back with a guy full of earrings and kind of a punk. And he said, well, we do need someone, and we could use your help. And we need someone. You must be very patient. Well, I am very patient, so that would be okay. And now we have agreed that the first Saturday of February, I will come and do a test run and see if I like it and if they like me, and then we'll see what happens next.
Excellent.
So it's very, very much better than I had hoped. And, I'm sorry, but we feed the cats at 1 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I said, that's perfect. That's perfect timing for me.
So here you had the inspiration to go and help out at the animal shelter. And the fear was preventing you from doing what you wanted to do because you thought the worst possible scenario, that they would think that you're crazy for coming down there to want to help, which is what people tend to do. People tend to think the worst possible scenario instead of the best possible scenario. So what you did was pre-pave yourself your way ahead of time by understanding that they need volunteers, that volunteers are a part of this operation, that they would, of course, love you, that they would see you as a good person for wanting to help, and that you would naturally find something that fit your vibration.
Yeah.
Which is the only way that could happen. Now, if your vibration is all about, they're not going to want me, they're not going to need me, I shouldn't even try, if I'm going to force myself to go down there anyway, but I know that they're not going to have anything for me, and they're going to think I look silly just for asking, I know it's going to be a big problem. When you got there, the universe would have to show this situation to you in a way that matched how you feel. So by altering how you feel before you even go down there, then the universe has to match the conditions in a way that matches your vibration. So all you're doing, hence, is focusing on your vibration, on how you want to feel, on what you want to experience, on how you think things might go in an empowering way. Now, we're not saying that you have complete control over everything. We're saying that the reflection that you get back in the conditions is a perfect reflection of the vibration that you are offering and have been offering up to this point. But a little pre-paving, a little intention setting will go a long way to create the result that you're hoping for.
Yeah.
Of course, you could always walk right into the middle of a manifestation event, which is even better because it exposes a limiting belief that you hadn't yet thought about. But in this case, you thought about your limiting beliefs ahead of time. And the limiting belief that was most prevalent for you is that, what will they think of me?
Yeah.
That is true of so many people. What will they think of me? I don't want to try just in case they don't think highly of me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to even put myself out there just in case they won't think highly of me. But who cares what they think? They don't know you anyway. They're way more concerned about what you think of them, especially the guy with the tattoos and the ear piercings.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't really care what you think.
No, I know.
Well, he does a little bit. Yeah. Good. Well, that's exciting. Now, this moving through fear and doing what you're inspired to do is a huge step forward in confidence and perspective and raising your vibration. Mm-hmm. Now that you've done this once, next time you do it, you can do it again. Next time you do it, you do it again. And you do the same thing. You feel the fear, let the fear wash over you. And then you say, that fear is irrational. I'm going to pre-pave through intention how I want this to work out. And that little bit of thought ahead of time that very few people take the time to do will change your life that you, in a way you cannot not even imagine.
Okay.
Excellent. Good.
Hey, Joshua.
Thank you.
I have a question about something you said to Olette. You said our reflection is a perfect match to where we've been vibrating at. Did I get that right?
Well, your vibration carries with it momentum. Mm-hmm. So we will say that the vibration that you're emitting at this point right now could be completely different than the vibration you emitted yesterday. It could be. Mm-hmm. You could create a new vibration, and in an instant, your world would look different to you. If you were able to completely change who you're being, what you believe, what you think about, how you feel about yourself, you could beam to another reality. Mm-hmm. Literally, beam. Completely different. Different house, different location, different bank account, different body, different health, different relationship. Could be done in an instant if you could change it. But how this reality works, law of continuity, stuff like that, you build up momentum by thinking thoughts for a long period of time, by perceiving yourself in a certain way based on the persona you've created for a long period of time. And so the reflection is a perfect match to really the vibration that you are offering this second, this moment. But that vibration has been in process, in work, in existence for a long time. So your reality changes subtly because your vibration changes subtly. But most of you had a completely different experience of reality 6 months ago or a year ago. It is much different now than it is before. Mostly how you feel about yourself and how you feel in general. And as you feel in general, better and better and better, things start to evolve. So your conditions are a perfect reflection of your vibration in this moment. Your vibration has been created over time and is evolving and is coming to be. It's coming to be. It's coming into be. And then the conditions are slowly filling in to reflect this newer and higher idea of self. Okay. So Gary is in this point right now, 4 years since we started, and his life is in some respects similar, but in reality is completely different than it was before. How he feels about everything, himself, his friends, his wife, his parents, his family, the world around him, what's important, what he wants, completely different. Completely, completely, completely different. What's changed in his life? His bank account's changed. What he does all day long has changed. His friends have changed. His body's changed. Completely different. Completely different. Big changes. 4 years. 4 years. No one's been in this longer than he has, but all of you are changing to feel better. So the feeling that he gets from the conditions is so much more exciting, more abundant, more free, far more free than it ever was before. More love, more appreciation, much more fun, more lighthearted, much less attachment to anything than before, much less attached to his persona than ever before.
Really?
And in all that, he feels better and better and better. So every day he feels better. Every day he feels better. Conditions, on some respects, you might think that they should look better, right? Why isn't he in a mansion somewhere, right? on the ocean because that is not important to him anymore. Right. That was important to him. Right. But it was only important to him as a reflection of who he wanted to be perceived as. Right. Now that now longer that is not that important. He loves where he lives. He loves, but he's not attached to it.
Right.
It could be gone tomorrow because he knows that something bigger and better might be in the offering.
So there's a catch up period.
There's a catch up period, but also what you expect. See, Gary, like a lot of you, expected when things got better, then he'd feel better. And what he's experiencing now is he's feeling better. And things are feeling better in these conditions that were always there. And he could have felt better about them the whole time, right? And as he's feeling better about them now, well, now opportunities come and ideas come and freedom, the freedom to do certain things that he never thought he could ever do before come. And the fun things come. And then things fall away. Things become less important than he thought was important, right? And things are evolving and changing. And as he releases attachment to how he liked things to go and is now open to how things are going, then he's going with the flow more often.
This all comes back to your perspective and feeling better first and focusing on what is wanted.
The conditions are never going to make you feel good unless you feel good.
Right.
The conditions are never going to make you feel valued unless you value yourself. The conditions will never make you feel loved unless you love yourself. The conditions first. The conditions will never make you feel anything you don't already feel. If you feel like a victim, the conditions must make you feel like a victim.
Right?
They can't make you feel like a princess if you feel like a toad. It's not possible. Right? The conditions, no matter what you change in those conditions, you're always going to feel the same. You might say, I'm going to feel better if I have this. And then you go out and get that. And you say, not only do I not feel better, but this thing that I got makes me feel worse because I should feel better.
Right, right. No, I get that. I get that totally. I just had a lapse this morning, you know, feeling a little lonely and wanting somebody to love. And I worked my way through it pretty much, but I just wanted to get your take on that. And
you wanted someone in your physical presence to love.
Yes, besides the dog.
Right. But the dog is a perfect
I know, I'm thank God love. For the dog.
And then you have all these people that you get to be loved and to love right now. And that you can call these people that you didn't know a year ago.
Yes. And then Astrid reminded me of on the cruise, remember we talked about having a tether to those that we love and being able to just tug on the tether. And that was a good reminder for me.
Right.
Thanks.
Exactly. And your millions are with you too.
Yeah, but I wanted a little more physicality.
What about with you? I mean, you're there.
Oh, yeah, me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I was here. I mean, you know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you are a physical being, and so being in physical presence of others is part of the whole thing. So when you can see somebody that's in the room with you and touch them and hold them and look at them and have that experience of being in the same proximity to them, it's a different thing than it is over a telephone or over a Skype call or over email, right? Yeah. So it's just a different experience. But you have the dog for that experience, and you have these new friends for that for the digital experience, and you have the get-togethers that you do and those adventures. Yeah. So that's a choice, though. The choice is I feel a little low, and I would feel better if people were here. If someone was here, I would feel better.
That's conditions.
But no, that's a condition. What's happening is perfect. So I choose to perceive that they don't need to be right here right now, that what's here is perfect, the dog's here, that's perfect. What I choose to do is think about them, call them, text them, email them, go on Facebook, connect with them somehow.
Okay.
Because in reality, had this been 100 years ago, I couldn't go on Facebook. I couldn't text them. I couldn't Skype them. I could probably maybe call them, but that'd be expensive. I probably wouldn't know them. I'd just be by myself in this house. Mm. Thank God it's 2018 and I have all this technology and that I have all these friends who live all over the world. And it doesn't matter whether they're here or there. This is amazing that I have all this connection. So it's just the idea of the perspective that you take. And as you take that perspective, that how lucky you are to have all these people that you can talk to at any time who truly care about you and who you care about, that is something that other people don't have.
Right.
And when you just alter your perspective a little bit, you'll find a little bit of relief, a little bit of relief, and then an idea will come to you. What's that idea? It'll be your guides and your inner self saying, plan this, do this, think about that.
Go to the dog park.
Go to the dog park.
Thanks.
Good. Who else is out there? Is Isabel out there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going through a lot of shit and manifestation.
Did you say shit?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can confirm that. Yeah. Tracy and I are in the car driving back from D.C.
Excellent. Good.
Yeah.
Well, speak into the phone or into whatever you're speaking into.
Okay.
Don't worry about the millions and millions of people who are listening to this right now.
Don't wait for us. You know, Skype won't let me do it. Sorry, guys.
Okay. No. So go ahead. You're going through lots of shifts.
I am. And, you know, manifestation events. With my family, with my husband, my sister. You know, it was pretty funny and ironic, and but my husband said, I don't recognize who you are anymore. And I went, wow, I have really done a good job dismantling Isabel. Holy moly, look at that.
Yeah.
You know, the persona is really being dismantled, and, you know, I understand intellectually that the role of Isabel, he misses my role.
Right.
He misses the wife, the mother, the nurturer, the security, the reassurance, the stability, right?
Right.
And then, so I have a couple of things. So one of the things is, you know, he wants a plan, an action plan, a definition. You know, when I tell him I have a calling, it sounds so fantastical, you know? And I said, it's like a hero's journey. I said, I understand that it's fantastical. I understand that it's not concrete. I understand that you think I'm being brainwashed. I understand all of that. You know, not everyone's going to believe that we're ascending. Not everyone's going to believe that the earth is changing. Not everyone's going to believe that we're moving into different dimensions.
Not everyone's going to believe that the earth is round.
Exactly, right? So here I am in this, here I am, Galileo, saying that the earth is not the center of the universe.
But you are.
But I am. But I am. Right. So I don't know. So I understand that I'm not supposed to know. Like, you know, because they talk to me and they're like, no. You cannot know 50 steps ahead, Isabel.
Right.
When you need to know, you will know.
So you can explore this experience with your family in joy,
okay,
or you can explore it in resistance. Either way is fine.
Right.
Either way is fine. You can look at this and look at your family who is struggling in fear, in love and acceptance of their fear, not trying to change them or wish they were different. Because if they had not the fear that they have now, you believe that you would feel better. So the only reason you don't want them to experience fear or their own manifestation events is because of how it makes you feel. If you allow them to experience whatever they're going to experience, because we all know, you know, everyone listening to this knows that down the road, this is leading to something beneficial for them as well.
Yeah.
They are resisting what's happening now because it's change, and they are adopting the worst possible scenario in their heads rather than the best possible scenario. If your husband knew what his life was going to look like 5 years from now, he would not resist it at all. He would say, go, whatever, leave. I can't wait for my new life to start, right?
Yeah.
But he does two things. He wants to look like the victim to make you feel bad. He wants to play the victim because it seems appropriate. It seems what other people are going to respond to. He wants to have some resistance because in a way it's comforting for him. It's also an experience of loss. He can say it's loss, that sort of thing. But he doesn't really know if he's losing anything. It's just what he imagines. And that's fine for him. That's fine for him. Now, how can you help him with that? Well, you can ask, you can allow him to be as he is. Love him as he is. Reassure him. Let him know that you still love him deeply, that you'll never be apart from him in reality, that you are eternally linked, and that you're raising a child together. So you'll be together in all of that stuff that goes along with that. And all you can do is go in this experience, dive into it, live it as deeply as you can, because this is part of the exploration that you've asked for, and he's asked for, and your daughter's asked for. And be conscious of what's happening. Be aware, rather than wishing everything was over and made whole.
Yeah. Hmm.
It will be made whole eventually, but sure. This part of the journey is just as interesting as the part 5 years from now will be. This part where he's unsure is an experience that is equally as valid as the part when he is sure. When he sees what will become of you in 5 years, he will say, oh, now I get it. Now I know what's happening, right? When he sees where he is in 5 years, he goes, oh, yes, now I get it. It makes sense. I wouldn't want to have that life that I had before. That life was semi-unconscious. It wasn't really going anywhere compared to where it is now.
Yeah.
Or he can base the rest of his life on this loss and feel resentment and realize that he's a victim of your whim, you know, but you don't have any control over that.
Okay.
So how do you want to feel better?
I want to love them through their fear. I know their fear is their candy, and I cannot, I try to be conscious about not solving it for them. You know, I do try to reassure them in a loving way, but not solve their problem.
Right. Not make them wrong, not solve their problem, not try to change them so that you can feel better.
Right. And then I allow my emotions to go through my, you know, I go through moments of crying and whatever, and I feel it because I know it's a message and I know it's okay. And I was here to experience that fear myself. I know this is just, this is to get me to the next higher vibration, believe it or not, like this birth, like that. I feel like I'm going through labor, you know? And I know bliss is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have, the thought was, because I sense big changes are coming this year for me. And one of the old matrix things is having a job. And, I've always had a job. I've had a job since 15 years old. And, I have this belief that I have to, earn money with a job. And I know it's limiting, you know? And so, I open up perception to reality. I'm like, what's my message? And I really like how you said that there's no food in the pantry. It shows how abundant you are because you can go to the grocery store and get more food. And the universe is like that with money. I can have no money in my bank account, but I can go to the universe and get more money.
Yes, just don't tell anyone that. They'll think you're crazy.
Too late, Joshua. Too late.
That's exactly right. So, but the point here is, in alignment, you're of service to them and yourself. Out of alignment, you're of service to nobody. So, in alignment, you gain from the positive side of this journey that might be missed being out of alignment. And since it's a choice, why not make the choice to be in alignment?
Right.
Yeah. Now, society will say that you have to be miserable during this sort of thing, right?
Mm.
That's just not true. This experience can be had in joy. It's a choice to make. And you have the freedom to choose how you want to feel. You have absolute freedom. No one is forcing you to be miserable. No one is forcing you to think bad thoughts. No one is forcing you to have to hold on to limiting beliefs about anything, especially your job and money and the future and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, unlike other people, you have inside information,
yeah,
which is comforting, right?
It is. And thank goodness. Yes.
Now,
yes,
everyone has that ability to bring forth inside information. You might not think you do. Those of you listening to us here, all of you can do the exact same thing that Gary's doing, that Isabel's doing, that so many other people are doing. The way you get there is by believing it. Write down what you want to write down, read it back to yourself, and understand that there's more going on in this communication, that there's more going on in the thoughts that you're thinking, that not these thoughts aren't just your thoughts. They're your thoughts because they occur to you, but they're given to you. They're not manufactured by you. Right. So take comfort in the thoughts you're thinking. As long as you're in alignment, those thoughts are divine. When you're not in alignment, there's just going to be urges to change the conditions, as you know. Excellent. Well, thank you for communicating with us on your road trip.
You are so welcome. And excellent. Thank you for helping me because, boy, I need all the support.
Well, we just have one thing to say, and that one thing is money is never going to be a problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. Who else would like to talk?
I'll go. This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi. Speaking of money, I am curious about the process of, in quotes, raising my rates around the new things that I'm doing.
You are paid exactly what you think you're worth. And not a penny more.
That's not very much.
If you want to raise your rates, you got to think that you're worth more.
Okay.
So what are you worth?
Well,
here you are, a unique being. There's never been anyone like you ever before. There's never going to be anyone like you ever again. You are unbelievably worthy of anything you want. You are worthy because you are here. So you are equal to everyone else. You're equal to the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich and the smartest of the smart and the dumbest of the dumb. You're equal to everyone. But what you have is unique. Nobody else has what you have. Have you figured out what you have that no one else has?
A little bit.
Good. So when you take one topic that you want to get paid for, one subject, what would that be?
Mostly, or what comes to mind first is Thai massage.
Thai massage, excellent. Now, are you the best Thai massager in the history of the world?
I think I'm pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. So you're pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Now, is there another person on earth better than you that you can point to? Is there someone who teaches classes? There's some master, there's someone with a degree out there? Someone who's written books?
Maybe the girl that's doing the training.
Okay. So here's someone who's doing training. Now, the difference between you and this person is this person believes in their ability enough to train others.
Okay.
Right? And therefore, they have this level of confidence. Well, that level of confidence is just a decision they made. And that decision could be based on evidence or not. It doesn't matter. But they made a decision to say, I'm really good at this. Well, it's easy to say I'm really good at something that you love doing. And it's really hard to say I'm really good at something that I hate doing. The love aspect makes it easy for you to feel good about yourself and whatever you're doing. But if you have a fear of worthiness or a fear of who you are as a person, then you're always going to be a little bit constricted by what you can perceive about yourself in whatever you do. So let's just say that you just happen to have this natural intuitive talent for Thai massage and that nobody can do it better than you can. You just know when you're doing it, you're just in the zone and you know what to do, right? And you go out and do it. And then the feedback you get is not in response to how well you're doing this massage, but it's in response to who you think you are. Because the reflection, no matter what you're doing, is always not based on what you're doing, but it's based on who you think you are doing what you're doing. So if you said, I'm an awesome Thai massager, but I'm new at this, and I probably shouldn't charge any much money because, you know, I'm new. I don't have a lot of clients yet. I need to attract clients, whatever. I'm new at it. So you have this perception that, one, you're good at it. One, you enjoy it. Two, you're new at it. And four, you haven't been doing it, you know, enough. You don't have clients, that sort of thing. Now, imagine you 5 years from now where every hour is booked solid for the next 6 months out because that's how good you are. At that point, you have a different opinion of who you are as a Thai massager. Now, you may not have a relationship because your opinion of you in a relationship isn't there yet. But as a Thai massager 5 years from now, fully booked out for 3 months, your opinion of yourself in this subject is super high. And that's how you can see some people who are successful in one area of their life, because in that area, they view themselves as really good in that one area. But in other areas, they don't view themselves as good. Maybe it's the way they deal with other people or how they think about themselves or whatever it is. So to be who you want to be, you have to think of yourself in a much higher capacity, from a much higher perspective. You have to think of yourself the way your inner self thinks about you, because in every subject of your existence, your inner self thinks you're the best, thinks you're brilliant, thinks that there's no one better than you, right? Your inner self is completely in love with you, like off the charts in love with you. And when your opinion matches your inner self's opinion, then you feel really good. You get goosebumps. But when your opinion is slightly less than that, you feel off in some way. And if it's way off, then you feel negative emotion. So if you want the universe to respond to you, you feel confident in what you're doing. And you just doggedly pursue that which you're interested in without regard to anything else. Okay. So do you do Thai massage for other people right now?
Yes.
And what do you charge? Anything?
I don't. And that's a part of it because so much of me would be more comfortable if there wasn't any exchange of money.
Okay. So when you're doing Thai massage for free, you allow yourself to be who you are. You can do what you want to do, and there's no attachment to how you're perceived from the other person because it's for free, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're getting this for free. So obviously they're going to think this is great. But if you put money into it, you're worried what they're going to think about how you're doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Because you think that you'll have to earn it, that you'll have to be good enough to actually get the money. And this is just a limiting belief on your part that makes that has no basis in reality whatsoever. Because everyone has had to do that no matter what they're doing, whether it's a job or a business or therapy of any kind or any service whatsoever. Everyone's had to go through the same thing, and everyone who gets paid has done it. Now, if you were a brain surgeon, you wouldn't be doing brain surgery for free. You know why? Because the person would never trust you to work on their brain. Because it's in the paying of money that they get the belief that your service is valuable. In the freeness of your service, they don't perceive it as valuable. So you have no control over how they perceive you anyway. But if you want whatever you're doing to be a benefit to them, then you must charge for it. Because if you don't charge for it, right, then they can't buy in, as it were.
Yeah.
Right. They can't be invested in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially if it's therapeutic. You know.
Yeah.
If they're paying for it, they're going to expect a result. Now, if they don't get a result, it's not your fault, right? You're not actually creating their reality. If they feel better, it's them feeling better themselves. You happen to be a conduit to give them the belief that you're doing something to make them feel better. But in the enjoyment of it, in whatever it is you're doing, whether it's acupuncture or brain surgery or Thai massage or dentistry or chiropractic, whatever it is, the therapist isn't really doing anything other than manipulating reality in a way where the patient gets some belief going on there. And if you don't pay for that, then they're not going to – if you don't charge for it, if they don't pay for it, they're not going to get the same result they would if they did pay for it. Yeah. Now, you're worried, if I make them pay, no one's going to come. No one's going to come again. They're going to be critical, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's just your insecurity about it.
Yeah.
Right? Which you have to give that up.
Yeah. I'm also afraid of the feeling, like I could picture maybe telling somebody a price, and I'm afraid of the feeling that would come if they rejected it.
Right. So that's the manifestation of it, and what you want is more of those manifestation events, because you want to be rejected. You want to be rejected as much as you can. You want to get rejection. You want to move through rejection, because rejection is confirmation of your unworthiness in your mind, and you have to change that around.
Okay.
So rejection has nothing to do with you whatsoever. The people aren't rejecting you. They've got something else going on in their head, right, which you can't know what that is. Now, they might be low on money. They might not feel worthy of splurging on themselves. That has nothing to do with you, right? If they said, I don't have $200 to have a Thai massage right now, that has nothing to do with you. You are choosing to believe that it is some reflection on you. It isn't. Even if they paid you $200, if that doesn't mean you're good.
I have a follow-up question. So let's go with the $200. Let's say I schedule the Thai massage and I say my rate's $200 and I get people who will reflect that insecurity in me, but over time I can be a match to that fee.
Exactly. So right now you're not a match to that fee, are you?
No.
You might be a match to $10 now. And then as you get comfortable getting the $10, you might be a match to $20.
Okay.
And then in 5 months you might be a match to $200.
Okay.
And if you are a match to some amount of time for $200, and that you started seeing people come back and back and back and tell their friends and tell their friends, how do you think you would feel then?
Awesome.
Yeah. So you want to go for this awesome feeling, not avoid this negative feeling. You never want to avoid the negative feeling. You want to go for the awesome feeling. And to get the awesome feeling, you have to risk the negative feeling.
Yeah.
But the negative feeling is just pointing out a limiting belief. It's only a negative feeling if you choose to perceive it as negative. Yeah. If you choose to perceive it as a step, oh, I just had a manifestation of that. That's a step. I'm going in the right direction. I'm going in the right direction. I choose how I feel in this one. Oh, this person doesn't want to schedule it. They wanted it when it was free. Now there's $100. They say no. That doesn't mean it has anything to do with me. They're just trying to get something for free. I don't blame them for that. I would too. Right? It has nothing to do with me. Right? If someone gives you $200, it doesn't mean you're great. You are not defined by anything you do, especially this. Yeah. Right? However, the money that you get is a reflection of how abundant you are willing to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so start charging people $10.
No.
No?
No. No.
How about $1?
I'll start charging. I'll start charging. Rather than
charge more than you think.
Donations.
Always stretch. No donations. Absolutely not. You are not a victim ready to get a donation.
You're not a charity case, Jennifer.
You are not a charity case. There's no donations. It is $10, $25, $50, $100, $200, whatever it is. More than you think. Always charge more than you think. Okay. Charge more than you think. Yep. More than you think you're worth. And then when people pay it to you, you can say, wow, they must have a lot of money to just throw away money like this. Because it still doesn't have anything to do with you. It just is one way for the universe to get you what you need. And what you need is this exploration of your worthiness. And this is part of that exploration.
Yeah. Perfect.
Good. Who here would pay $100 for Genevieve for a massage?
I would. Wendy. Sign me up.
There you go.
I pay $75 to $100 every other week. So yes, Genevieve, I'd be happy to have you massage me.
I'd be happy to massage you.
Everyone here would be happy. Except Mark.
You didn't like me touched.
Yes. Excellent. All right. Anyone else? Going once. Going twice. Anyone? Nikki? Kate?
Yes. This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. I'm pretty good tonight.
Good. Excellent.
You know, I did have a question about charging because I haven't been charging for my tapping. Good. Because I sort of made this decision that as I'm teaching and I'm earning my money that way, I'm getting practice through my tapping with my friends. And so I haven't spread beyond my friends for the tapping. But then when I heard you say all that, I thought, holy shit, how do I transition from not charging to charging with my friends? Should I charge my friends?
You can tell your friends that this is going to work so much better if they pay something.
Well, the people that I'm working with are super, super happy with the results. They feel like they're, you know, undergoing changes.
Excellent. It can be so much better if they pay something.
Okay. That scares me. I'm full of fear when I think about that.
Do you charge for teaching children?
Of course I do.
Why?
I raise my prices all the time. No, yeah. It doesn't scare me.
Do the children get any benefit from you?
Tons.
Excellent. So do the people that you tap get any benefit?
Tons.
They will get so much more benefit if they pay.
Yeah, but how do I tell them?
You say, I've got a super unique new thing that I do. And in order to get this new skill, I had to take courses and courses and courses and courses.
No.
It cost me a fortune. And in this course, they said the way for part of this whole process is for the people that you're working with to show their appreciation and to gain an extra benefit by paying $700.
Each time. Each tapping session.
Right. And there's a discount if you get 100 tapping sessions.
I really hate that idea.
Instead of $49,000, it's only $42,000. So you hate money. That's okay. You hate abundance. You reject the abundance that is there for you. That's fine. Live in lack all you like, just because you don't think you're worth it. Just because you don't think they're worth it. Just because you're worried about a little negative emotion, if they happen to say, what? Money for effort and time and your skills and all these services and all these benefits that I get? You want me to pay money? I never pay money for anything. I don't pay money for my groceries. I don't pay money for the electric. I don't pay money for my car. I don't pay money for my house. Why would I pay you money?
Well, I can see charging like people I don't know, but these are like my closest friends.
Yeah, so don't charge them. Charge people you don't know. Go out and say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do tapping for you anymore. I wish I could, but that free period is over. Now I have to go out and find people that I don't know to charge. I wish I love you, but I can't help you anymore because okay. I'd have to charge you. And they'd say,
okay,
please charge us. Please charge us. Please. And you say, no, I know you. I can't charge anyone I know. Do you know any of the kids that you teach?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not worried about charging them. Why?
You're right. But I charge their parents that I don't know, actually.
Yeah. You can make excuses for your lack if you like.
Okay.
We will grant you any wish. And if you wish to be lack-based.
I don't wish to be lack. I do not wish.
Well, it's a choice. It's a choice to have a fear of what you think you're going to feel if they were to say no, because you think that this thing you're doing defines you in some way, and it doesn't.
Okay.
And if they say yes, it doesn't define you either. It doesn't mean you're good. Doesn't mean you're good.
Right.
You can make it mean you're good, and that's awesome, because you'll feel positive emotion because you're – inner self thinks that you're good in whatever you do. And when you think you're good, you're just agreeing with your inner self. And so if you want to use that excuse to feel good, bravo. Right. But your inner self.
I do think I'm good at what I do. I think I'm helping people. You know what? I don't know. I'm attracting a lot of poor people, apparently.
Yeah.
So
poor people starving to death?
Well, that are struggling or don't have jobs or I don't know. But, you know, I'm probably just making more excuses.
Yeah, you're always making excuses. Because if you say, I am worthy of being paid, then you would attract people who could pay you, not people who can't pay you. You're saying, I am not worthy of being paid. Therefore, I can only attract people who can't pay me. And wow, what a shocker. The people that I attract don't seem to have any money. Do you live in a very poor community?
No, everybody's rich in my community.
Ah, there you go. So there is abundance abounding around you. And all you have to do is tap into that. Get it?
Yeah, I got it. That was a good one. Bravo.
Tap into the abundance.
Okay.
Well, it goes back, Nikki and Genevieve, to what we were talking about. Reflection is a perfect match to what you've been vibrating at, your perception of yourself. So as you can change your perception of yourself a little bit, you'll vibrate at a different vibration and attract those people that will want to pay you.
You will also move through the fear of asking for money.
Yes.
So right now, both succumbing to the fear of asking for money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you were hired to do this work, you wouldn't have the fear of it. If there was an institute where people came to be tapped and you applied for the job as a tapper, you tapped all day long, tap, 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 all day long, tap, 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 8 hours a day, tap, 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 you would expect a paycheck at the end of that week.
Yeah.
You would expect the people who walked in that building to be tapped to pay money. You wouldn't expect anyone to come to that building to be tapped and say, I would like free tapping, please. You wouldn't expect, if you opened a restaurant, you wouldn't expect customers to come to the restaurant and say, we would like free food. Mm. But here you are, a home cook, thinking that your food's not worthy of being paid for.
Right.
And you know, Nikki, you will also attract the right words to say, the perfect thing to say. You know, so that's the thing about step one, right? So your
unless you have a fear about the money.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, step one, maybe you want to.
It's not the money. I have a fear. I have a fear of disrupting my relationship with my friends.
Yeah. So your intention is to start maybe charging, you know, the idea like Josh, it just raised right now. Maybe I should start charging. And then that's step one. And then.
Okay.
Maybe.
And then you meet someone and you said, you say to your best friend, you say, I know this is going to sound silly. I know it's going to sound crazy, but I was just in a course where they said that the mere fact of the person paying something raises their vibration so that this tapping becomes effective to another level that was not previously done. Mm-hmm. And by not charging any money at all, I'm doing you a disservice. So I'm going to, ask of you something ridiculous, something crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to pay something. So not for me. I don't need the money. I am independently wealthy and unbelievably abundant. But for you, for you, so that you can have this experience that I know is going to work for you. And so it doesn't have to be a lot. It's just a token, a little something.
Right.
Shall we say $300, something like that.
That sounds like a good starter.
Push it as far as you can. Maybe it's 10 euros. Maybe it's 5 euros. Maybe it's some odd number, like 9 euros and 99 cents.
Okay. Good point. So, and I just got it. I just got
it. By the time we talk to Genevieve and Nikki again, we would like you to do an experiment. And charge somebody something for what you're doing and see what happens. And then come back to us and tell us about your horrific experience receiving money from the universe.
Okay, but so we don't have to look for somebody.
The pressure's on, Genevieve.
I know. We don't have to look for somebody to charge? Will that I'll just, like, come?
Yes, look for somebody, whatever. Look out. You say, my intention is to do this service for this person, for this type of person, for some person. And I intend to charge some kind of money for it. And I intend to go through the experience of it. And I intend to stay aligned for the entire experience. I intend to feel good. And I intend to allow the experience of receiving money to get me into alignment, to know that I am valued. And this experience of receiving value for my services is going to connect me to source stronger than ever. And I'm going to flow through energy like never before to positively affect the person who is paid for the service. And I want that experience. And as you go through that powerful experience by prepaving what you want in advance, you can see the results, how it is so much more powerful than doing it out of fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very good. Well,
thank you.
We have enjoyed this experience. We have thought that there couldn't be a better group of people to discuss this leading edge conversation with. And we appreciate all of you and all of you who are listening. And we hope that in the next days, you think about what we're talking about here today, that you are free to dive into the experience that you're having right now. Not to dive into some other experience, to dive into this experience, to feel your freedom within the situation of your life now, that you created this, that this is a perfect reflection of your life, that you are abundant in all things, not just money, not just relationships, but experiences, and that this is why you came here. The life that you're living right now is why you're here right now. Dive into that life. Soak it up. Enjoy it. Don't think anything's wrong with any of it. Think how right it all is. Appreciate every second of it. And just see where that leads you. Because until you're finished exploring this aspect of reality, you're not going to easily move on to the next level that you want to experience. How about that? There's something that more that you've all wanted to experience. Yet you first have to get through this experience. And then you'll be guided to the next one. And the next one is going to be feel even more powerful to you. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.